It is an absolute pleasure, as always, to have Kyle come up. He has been a blessing to us since he showed up, and we have quite a few men here that can do this, and I am greatly appreciative of it. And I had asked Kyle for next week, but I got hurt, and he stepped up, decided to step in for me, and I greatly appreciate it. Without anything else, our brother Kyle.
Good morning, everyone. A quick note before I start actually praying. It's quite all right and even very appreciated if during this sermon you would throw up your own prayers, even quietly, for me as I pray. I've seen it work when I do it for others, and I very much appreciate it for myself, just to watch what God does and how God moves hearts as we just pray for everything around us. But with that, would you bow your heads to pray? Father God, thank you for bringing us here together today to just worship, to fall down in adoration of you. May the words that we have here to share and the time after, may it just be pleasing in your sight. In your name we pray. Amen. So, one of the advantages of being a student, actually, is having an interesting commute. Specifically, I get a nice long bus ride. And so on my nice long bus ride, I actually like to read books, and the book that I'm currently reading is a book called When Helping Hurts. And the book itself and the themes in the book are an entirely different sermon all its own, and one, as I've not finished the book, that I'm not going to be sharing with you today. But there was something on the bus ride this past week, a passage that just absolutely blew me away and is the creation of this sermon. So I want to share that story with you, actually, out of this book. So one of the ideas that the pastor is talking about is actually, I think he does have his MDiv, but he actually does economic education in third world countries and also teaches some in the United States. But one of the times he was in Nairobi, Kenya, and was traveling through a slum to get to a worship service. And as he's going deeper in, and he keeps having these thoughts that this place is completely God-forsaken, but he's kind of like wondering what God's doing here. And then he hears a familiar hymn to his ears. And he says, there must be Western missionaries conducting an open-air service here. And then they turn a corner, and he sees a church. And it's not pretty. It is made of cardboard boxes stapled onto wooden studs. And as he enters, he jots down some notes to give a sermon. And before the sermon can begin, though, he has this revelation. As I listened to these people praying to be able to live another day, I thought about my ample salary, life insurance policy, health insurance policy, two cars, house, etc. I realized that I do not trust in God's sovereignty on a daily basis, as I have sufficient buffers in place to shield me from most economic shocks. I realized that when these folks were praying the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, their minds do not wander as mine so often does. I realize that while I have sufficient education and training to deliver a sermon on God's sovereignty with no forewarning, these people were trusting in God's sovereignty just to get them through the day. That passage rocked me. It stopped my reading for about a half page that day instead of multiple pages, as I so enjoy. And it really got me thinking about my need for God. And not just my need for God, but how God shows us our need. So I now want to actually direct you. I know they didn't make it in to the bulletin, but there are two particular passages that I want to preach on today. The first is Mark 10, 46 to 52. It is the story as Jesus is approaching Jerusalem, there is a blind beggar that calls out to him. The title is Blind Bartimaeus Receives His Sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. throwing aside his cloak, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want from me? What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed along the road. I want to make two interesting points about this that will relate into the larger theme of this sermon. One is Bartimaeus's action whenever he is told Jesus is calling you. He throws his cloak away. At the time, this would have been his shelter, his protection from the wind and the elements, and what lets him stay warm at night. And it's more than just symbolic of him leaving everything behind. It is him literally leaving everything behind to go to Jesus, trusting that he's going to get his sight and be able to go in and find a place and interact with people and be sheltered. The second thing that's very interesting to note is he has a name. His name is Bartimaeus. And that's actually a point that comes in at the very end where he says he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Bartimaeus is healed and follows Jesus. The people that are writing these stories later got to know Bartimaeus. It was more than a name, more than just a blind beggar. He was Bartimaeus, someone they'd interacted with, someone they knew, like a family. The other passage that I want to highlight, I'm going to do more of a summary of it, as it would be 20 verses otherwise, and I've spent a lot of time with my head down reading so far. It is the story of the demoniac, of the story of Legion. After Jesus crosses Lake Galilee, he gets out of the boat and a man with an impure spirit comes running towards him. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained, hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the limbs on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't hurt me. Don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again not to send him out of the area. There's a field of pigs nearby, and Legion requests that he can enter the pigs, and Jesus lets him. The legion of demons drive into the pigs, and the pigs drive themselves down and into the water. This so changes the man that whenever the townspeople go, because the pig herders went to tell them what had happened, they see the man sitting there in his right mind and clothed, and they beg Jesus to leave. This man wants to follow Jesus, but is sent on his own way. So there we have two stories, both of them crying out for Jesus whenever they see him, whenever they meet him. But I want to highlight what the very difference of their response is. One of the themes that I see here is this understanding of need. Blind Bartimaeus recognizes his need immediately, recognizes that he is blind and that he is need for God, and it is this need that God can fix and heal. It doesn't really say, but it doesn't seem like the demoniac actually sees his need. He is bashing himself with stones. He is possessed by 6,000 demons, as a legion is. And even in spite of his inability to recognize his own need, God still comes to him, and God casts the demons out. That's one of my favorite Bible stories, actually, because there's so much more to it. It's actually Jesus feeds 5,000 and then walks on water as the storms rage. And the price of Jesus to heal one man is to scare the crap out of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. The price of 2,000 pigs and the livelihood of a village on the other side. To just all of this just for one person. It gives us almost a little bit of a tangible evidence of what Jesus is willing to do for us. So that brings me to three questions, actually. The first is, what do I need God for? And in my life, I've seen a large number of things: grace and provision and protection and redemption and sanctification, and so many of the themes that we see so strongly in this book. But there's even more themes in this book that we know that God does provide for. So many, many other answers. Abraham relies on God for a son, and David for military victories, for someone to worship, and for grace itself. 5,000 people look to Jesus for food. Other people look to him for identity, and even people like Lazarus look to Jesus for life itself. As we've mentioned, one of the things that is potentially before this church is to start a men's ministry. I've been a part of men's ministries before and would really like to start one here. Lust is my struggle. Lust and pornography and masturbation is my struggle. Not my only one, but definitely the one that God is working on me now for. And so it's not enough to say that it's a struggle, because like I said, the thing that he's been hounding me is, what do you need me for? I don't need him to tell me I'm struggling. I need him for grace. I need him because his blood covers me. It's why I'm wearing a white t-shirt today, to remind me that I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb and come before him white as snow. And I need him for a few more things as well. For in these steps of faith, in starting men's ministry, that the Spirit that is among us will grow things, will be the fostering soil, will make the soil, has made the soil, fruitful to grow and to plant and to be. Which brings me to my second question. What do you need God for? For some of you, I kind of know the answer, and as a church, we are so blessed to be a small crowd that is able to share so intimately with each other. But for some of the rest of you, I do want to know. I want to be able to love you like Jesus. I want you to share with me what your struggle is too. Now, I do accept and do fully understand that not everyone needs to come up to the pulpit to share what their struggle is. That is not at all how God, the only mechanism by which God works. It is one of them, but it is not the only one. That I would just invite you to share your struggles and your joys and your victories like we do for so much time here. We spend 7, 8, 10, sometimes 15 minutes going over our joys and concerns for just everything that we need throughout the day. Which brings me to the third question that I see out of all of this. Although the stories I shared with you are very individualistic, the third question is, what do we need God for? In this Americanized culture we live in this time we're in, we have a very individualistic view of everything. But there's such another stronger theme of certain things we see, to where, like Jeff mentioned, it is the sheep amongst the nation that God judges. And although he does reach towards each person individually, he also reaches towards us as a whole. And this is a special place to where these questions come up, not just the individual questions of what is my struggle and what is your struggle, but what is our struggle? What are we as a church looking to do? And what do we as a church need God for? For we know we need him for life. We know we need him for life in these walls, and we know we need him for, if we're going to share, we need him to be here with his grace and his redemptive power, because otherwise we retract. And we become everything that he's trying to perfect and trying to shake off of us for. We need him for identity, because if we are not here to serve God, then we are not the church. We are a social club. And we need God to start speaking now for what we can do and how we can love each other better. Let's pray. God, thank you for bringing us here today. And just let us finish out this time of worship. In your name we pray. Amen.